Well, welcome, everybody, and happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
Happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
You know, we do have one Canadian here, but it's okay, Simon. You can celebrate with Americans.
That's right.
Isn't that right? When is your Independence Day?
It's on July 1st, so it was just a few days ago.
Oh, you just got ahead of us. Okay. Well, we have Simon Sops with us today, and we also have Pauline and Joshua. And what do you think of this lesson that we're going to have today?
I'm looking forward to it. I love Seattle, and I think it's always interesting to hear about, you know, new innovations in buildings and companies, things that they're doing, so it'll be interesting.
Well, Josh, have you been to Seattle, too?
Well, actually, Doris, I grew up in Washington State, and I went to school in Tacoma. A lot of my good friends lived in Seattle, and I also lived in Seattle for a short time. I was interned at the Seattle Children's Opera for a while.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're very qualified to be here today, then.
Yeah, and so I never really got a chance to live in Seattle for more than about a year at a time, but I visited a lot. I don't feel like I really know the city super, super well, but I do love the city.
Well, Tacoma's right next door, and it's just a suburb in a way, kind of.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, and, of course, Simon, you've been to Seattle, haven't you?
I have. I've actually been there to study, though not for university, just for tours during university. But when I was studying there, we actually were studying the architecture and planning of the city. So this is a subject that's of interest to me.
Right.
Well,
up your alley.
A good thing he's there today, because this is certainly an architectural type of study, isn't
it? That's right. So it's right up his alley.
It really is.
Well, actually, we have a lot of people here at ORTV who love Seattle. Another person here at our company is Simon Hong. He goes to Seattle often, and I actually brought him into the studio earlier for a little interview to talk to him about it. So let's go to that clip now.
Good.
Friends, well, today we have a special treat. We have the executive director of ORTV here in the studios with me, Simon Hong. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Hello, every audience.
Well, we're so glad to have you, and we brought you in specifically because you are someone who really enjoys Seattle. I know you've been there many times, right?
Yes, I really like Seattle. It's an evergreen city.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of lakes.
That is right. I have been there a few times, too, and I always think about how green it is. Could you tell us where in the United States is Seattle?
Yeah, Seattle in the northwest, you know, the corner of America.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, very close to the Vancouver.
Exactly, yes. That's a very good reference point. Maybe our listeners know where Vancouver is. It's in that same area. It's part of Washington State, right?
Right.
So tell us, what are some other things you like about Seattle?
Seattle, actually, everybody knows is the Starbucks there.
Oh, yes.
You know, Costco, Amazon.
Right. There are many famous companies that have either started there or now have their headquarters there, right?
Yes, the headquarters there, and Microsoft, even Boeing.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
of
Boeing,
course.
Yeah, the airplane, you know, the factory there.
That's right. So I'm really glad you brought this up, because today we're going to be talking about Amazon Spheres, and we're not going to get into that quite yet, but that is a good reminder. Seattle is a really big city in the Pacific Northwest, and it's really important for a lot of different companies that have their headquarters there.
Yes.
What's the weather like in Seattle?
Oh, the weather is so good. Maybe only 1 week with the snow in the winter.
Right, if that, right? Sometimes no snow all winter, right?
Yeah. People said that a lot of raining.
Right.
But I think this 10 years, not too many rain.
Not as much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we would say it's very temperate, meaning it's not too extreme, right? Not too hot, not too cold. A lot of people really like the weather there.
Right. And especially Seattle is the home founder, Doris Brown's hometown.
Hey, that's right. Another famous reason for knowing all about Seattle. Yes, our dear friend Doris, who is also going to be on our show today. Well, friends, this is a nice little intro into our article, at least an intro into where Amazon headquarters is and where these spheres are. Simon, we'll get back to you to ask some more questions in a little bit.
So, Simon, what we're going to do today is take a tour of Seattle's newest superstructure, And you might be interested in that because it has to do with architecture, doesn't it?
That's right. And just to be clear, I am a different Simon from the Simon who was just interviewed on our program.
Goodness, right? Mm-hmm.
But you are right. Today we're talking about Amazon's Spheres. And Amazon Spheres, of course, it's the name of a building in Seattle. And it's kind of a new building that's attracting a lot of attention.
I've never even been there. So when did it open?
Well, it's brand new. It just opened this year, so it opened at the end of January in 2018. And it's actually part of a bigger complex of buildings that are part of the new Amazon, I guess, company headquarters.
So if you go to Seattle, you're going to be sure and go there, and we'll find out more about this place. So let's start reading right now on page 12. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
A look inside Amazon Spheres. Take a tour of Seattle's newest superstructure. Sitting on one of the half dozen lounge chairs just under the four-story high steel superstructure that caps Amazon's glass-paneled Spheres, the feeling is like resting in a space capsule ready to launch. A short walk away, past a living wall, tables and chairs are set by beds of succulents. Downstairs, a wooden path circles the leafy canopy of a towering 49-year-old tree, stopping at a few meeting nooks.
Well, I find it a little hard to follow some of the things in this article because it's not your ordinary building. It's not your ordinary type of story. What do you think, Simon? It's kind of different, isn't it?
Well, even the name is a little confusing. Some of our friends might not be familiar with this word sphere. It's actually the name of a shape. And so it's not really a circle. It's more like a ball shape. And so actually you can see the building. And I think looking at the picture is one of the best ways to really start discussing this building. You can see it at the bottom of page 12. It's sort of the little ball-shaped building. It looks like three little circles at the bottom of the picture at the bottom of page 12. And you can see why it's called Spheres, because it looks like balls.
Right. So even though it's one building, it's made up of like three spheres, hence the name.
But there's that great big building next to it. Now, Amazon is the name, as you know, of that company that everybody knows about now. But the word Amazon, I think, comes from the Amazon River in South America, right?
Right, the Amazon rainforest. You're talking about a tropical area of the world, and mostly in Brazil.
If you ever meet the owner of that, you might ask him why he called it Amazon. After all, it's Seattle, not South America. But I don't know why they chose that name. Do you?
I don't.
But that's what they call the company, and we don't really think about the Amazon jungle and Amazon River. But you are going to think about it if you go to this building, I think, don't you?
That's right, and we're going to learn all about why today.
That's right. And Doris, you actually pointed out there's a big building that looks like a rectangle behind it that is mm-hmm. actually much bigger than the spheres themselves. And mm-hmm. so I think it's probably pretty important to note that this Amazon Spheres structure or building, it's actually kind of a lounge with workspace area. So it's not the full headquarters building.
There wouldn't be room for all the stuff that they do in that part, isn't it?
That's right. It's just kind of a space for employees to use and work in. It provides mm-hmm. kind of a different environment for working.
Well, what do you think, Joshua, as you read this? Can you explain some of that to us?
Well, this is a really interesting sort of development in Seattle. I've always been sort of fascinated with the natural area of Seattle, but them adding kind of like this sort of a jungle environment or this Amazon environment, you might say, is really interesting. And reading through the article, it also makes me kind of want to go check it out myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it talks about, you know, they have this living wall and tables and chairs and all those words in there. There's some good words to talk about.
There are a lot of words. And I agree, it can be a little overwhelming at first when you start to read it because they're really trying to be very descriptive here. So
I mean,
it's
who
not
thinks of a living wall? What does that mean?
Well, actually, the first time I ever saw living walls was here in Taipei. I saw, you know, in the malls even, or outside of construction sites, right? They have a wall where they've put all these plants
on the wall.
I think it's beautiful. I think mm-hmm. it's a great idea.
So just to be clear, a living wall is a wall that has little, like, pots put into it for plants to grow out of.
These are growing out of the wall.
It's a wall that's covered with different kinds of plants. That's
mm-hmm.
right. The other word you can see in that second paragraph there is succulents that's been marked, and that's really one kind of plant. Usually when I hear this word succulent, I think of a different word. I think of the word cactus, which, of course, is one of those plants you find in a desert that's covered with spikes but kind of has water inside of it because it's such a dry environment.
Right, and I think succulents and cactuses are related, although succulents usually don't have the spikes or the pokey parts that you think of with cactus.
Yeah, a lot of succulents, they tend to be smaller plants. I think the biggest difference between a succulent and a regular plant is that a succulent has leaves or stems or roots where they store a lot of water inside in order to be able to live in dry environments.
I guess you're just going to have to go and look at it to really understand it, but you get the idea anyway from here. Mm-hmm. But then it says you see this place, and it's like a space capsule just getting ready to go out into outer space. But still, you just walk past this stuff and you go downstairs, and the pathway is wooden path circles to this leafy canopy. And a canopy is just kind of like a roof or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an overhead cover, but a lot of time when we talk about a tree canopy, we talk about the areas underneath trees where the branches are so close together that the leaves kind of make like a solid cover that the sun doesn't really go through.
How can they put a 49-year-old tree in there without killing it? They must have taken it from someplace. Didn't grow there.
Yeah, it must have been very interesting to see them hauling that tree into downtown Seattle, I would suppose, on a big truck. That must have been quite the sight, just seeing them get that into the building.
One place, like in Portland, I saw in a big shopping mall, they had a big tree in the middle that they put in there, and everybody loves to go to that shopping mall to see that tree inside the shopping mall. So I don't know whether Amazon saw that one or not, but I don't know if they copied that, but it's kind of a funny idea. Put a tree in the middle of a building, isn't it?
It is a really kind of weird idea. You don't really see a lot of large plants like that inside a building, but certainly transplant trees and full-grown trees, and it is nice to have that kind of like fresh air and natural environment feel whenever you're inside.
And it really sounds like that's what this is all about, is giving you the sense of getting to go on a hike out into nature when you're actually downtown at work and need a space to work. The wonderful thing about an outdoor space like this, about getting to enjoy the great outdoors, is you're not actually outdoors, so you never have to worry about rain or thunderstorm spoiling your plants.
That's true. But when you go there, you kind of feel like you're outside in a way, but they have a few little meeting nooks. A nook is just like a little corner of a place where you can sit down and maybe have a cup of coffee or something, right?
Yeah, often we think of that.
You can actually see a picture of one of the nooks, again, at the bottom of page 12 on the left-hand side. You can sort of see a little table there with a seat around it, and that's a good example of a nook.
But it doesn't look like you're inside a building when you look at that picture, does it?
Yeah, it looks like you're out at a park, right?
Right.
Now, the three spheres that you have in this building, they actually don't all contain the same thing. There's actually different environments in each of them. And our next reading, I think, talks a little bit more about that.
All right. Well, that's good. Let's read the next part.
These different environments in the three connected domes convey the same sensation. You quickly forget you're in a bustling office park downtown. For the building's designers, that's the point. The company, for most of its 24 years, preferred to operate under the radar in its hometown, posting no signage to indicate its presence in its office buildings. But in the spheres, Amazon has built an architecturally ambitious focal point and symbol of its status as Seattle's largest employer and one of the most dynamic entities in corporate America. John Shuttler, Amazon's real estate chief and a Seattle native, hasn't been shy about comparing the spheres to other architectural landmarks in the city.
So at the beginning of this second reading, they actually tell us that there are three different environments in the three connected domes. So now they're using the word dome instead of sphere to describe this building. And so I guess it's important to point out that if you look at that picture on page 12, you'll see that the spheres aren't actually spheres because a sphere is a ball shape. A dome is much more of a kind of a half a ball shape. It's kind of a rounded covering of something. And so really, these are three domes. The name spheres is really just kind of meant to give you a feeling of what it's like. And so a better description here is domes. And each of the domes has a different environment. And those different environments are meant to give people the same kind of feeling.
Even though they are different, I'm assuming what they mean is natural environment. So maybe one's more of a rainforest, maybe one's more arid or different. I don't know what those environments are, but they're going to be different temperature plant environments. But for the people, it's going to be the same feeling. It's going to be a feeling of being outside, of feeling like you're suddenly whisked away from the city and all the busyness and the bustling of an office downtown. And all of a sudden you're in the park and you're able to relax.
And so it's interesting here that the author uses sort of environment in the traditional sense, or the literal sense, meaning the climate, right? But then also is talking about the same sensation or the environment of the feeling of the area around you. And that is that regardless of what the temperature is like, you still get the same sort of like peaceful, calm, not bustling. So when something is bustling, it's really like busy and moving around and maybe even just a little bit stressful.
I think it's interesting that they say that, because if you want to compare Seattle to New York, Seattle is not bustling. I think about New York and those, Chicago, Seattle's kind of more of a laid-back city. They don't have a lot of big high-rises, and people don't live in big high apartments. They live in homes. So it's kind of not the same. I don't think about it bustling, but evidently downtown is always a little bit bustling, but the designers wanted it. That's the main point, is to make it feel like you're not in the middle of a big city. Now, it says the company, for most of its 24 years, which tells us how long Amazon's been there, they wanted to operate in a certain way. It says under the radar in its hometown. What does that mean?
Well, radar, of course, is the way that we use to detect things moving around in the air. And there is a certain limit under which radar can't do very well at being able to detect moving objects. So if you're flying under the radar, it means your plane is flying low enough that nobody can see kind of who you are or what you're doing. And that's what they mean here, that they're sort of operating in such a way that it's not really obvious that that's their corporate headquarters.
We could also use this phrase, they want to be low key.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be noticed too much, so they're just another company like everything else. They're not trying to be something that everybody really sees. For 24 years, and it started out kind of a small company, and some of our studio classroom teachers went to work there when they went back to the States.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But it was just kind of a regular company, and all of a sudden, it became a big thing.
Right, and now they're moving into a really new phase, where instead of operating under the radar and being low-key about their presence in the city, they've decided to build an architecturally ambitious focal point. That's a nice little phrase there.
Boy.
So they're really standing out in the city for this design and really making a statement of their presence in Seattle.
Now, that's true. And, you know, this is really an advanced article because it's got a lot of different vocabulary in it, and you have to think about it. But it says that they want to make this a symbol of its status. This is what we are. We're Seattle's largest employer and one of the most dynamic companies or entities in corporate America. So here we are. We're not hiding out anymore. We're coming out in the open.
Yeah, loud and proud, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of that?
I think that's a great way to describe it. I also really like here that they talk about Seattle not just being its largest employer, but that it's also one of the most dynamic entities in corporate America. So something that's dynamic is something that is, it gives a sense of kind of being exciting, but also open to change and sort of ever-changing, which is very interesting about Amazon, because I don't know how many people know this about Amazon, but they started off as a small mail-order bookstore.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, and they've changed a lot over the years.
Well, and you think about, you know, Seattle, the ones that everybody knew about for years. Every time you think of Seattle, it was Boeing's. because Boeing made the big aircraft, and that was where a lot of people were employed. And one of my brothers was one of the vice presidents in Boeing. So, you know, Boeing was a big company, and they still have, you know, the airplanes made there and so forth. But then after that, what was the second big company that everybody knew about?
Microsoft,
Bill Gates. Oh, then all of a sudden, Seattle was all about, you know, Microsoft.
Yep.
And then little Starbucks. Amazon, which was a kind of a...
and then Starbucks.
Don't forget Starbucks. Starbucks was in there, too.
Well, yeah, Starbucks, too. But, you know, I don't know whether they got to be quite as big as this Microsoft. What do you think? You know? But anyway, Starbucks. And then along comes Amazon. And so now they're coming out, you could say, right?
Yep, they've definitely shown themselves as a big presence. They're ready to really declare that. And they have this really amazing design that's definitely going to attract a lot of people to their headquarters. In fact, of course, now that it's open, a lot of people are hoping to go and see it. I talked to Simon Hong about that as well. Let's go to him now. So we're back again with our interview with Simon Hong. I had one question. When was the last time you visited Seattle? I know you go there often, but have you visited this year?
Yes, February and March.
Oh, that's great news because these Amazon Spheres, they just finished being constructed this January. So does that mean you got to see them?
I go there. I try to get in, but... when I get in the reception, then they mention that they have to make a reservation.
Oh, yes, I've heard that.
And also get some invitation.
Oh, okay, especially at the beginning, because you were there right as it was new. I know it was quite difficult to get in, because everybody wanted to see it. But hey, at least you got to see it from the outside, right?
Yes, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what it looks like. I know they are glass spheres, but not all glass is transparent. Can you actually see inside?
Yes. When you around at the building, you can see different angle, but the whole building, especially the first floor and the dome, it's like it's glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a jungle inside.
Wow, that must be amazing to see this, you know, jungle in the middle of the city, huh?
Right, right.
What do you think would be your favorite part if you could go in?
Actually, inside they keep the temperature, the humidity. Just like Amazon River, you know, the weather.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they keep a tropical climate inside for the plants. I do think it would be amazing to see all the technology that goes into creating this building that's perfectly calibrated so that the weather's just right and everything's just right so that the plants can live in there and humans can do work, right?
Right. The rainforest weather, you know, so you can feel that. Wow, it's South America.
Yeah, I would feel like, yeah. I know, I would love that. I would feel like I was back to Costa Rica in the jungles, right? Well, I really hope I can go and visit sometime. I hope the next time you go, maybe you'll be able to get reservations and take a real tour.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, if you do, you'll have to come back and tell us all about it.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to go back to our show, and maybe we'll check in with you one more time before we go, Simon.
Okay, thank you.
And we're on page 13. We're going to read the final section, which is called A Private Jungle.
A Private Jungle. The flora inside the domes is the work of a team of horticulturists who were charged with scouring the globe for interesting plants and growing them in a 40,000 square foot greenhouse. 4 years later, the spheres feel like a mature jungle. Unlike most jungles, the spheres are a workspace. Amazon envisions the building as a change of pace for its workers, a place to feel differently, to think differently, said Ron Gagliardo, the sphere's lead horticulturist. To keep the aisles clear for that feeling and thinking, Amazon's gardens will be, for the most part, private space. The general public can sign up for free tours of an exhibit area on the ground floor of the spheres. And Amazon's guided, twice-weekly headquarters tours will soon include a stop inside the spheres.
Okay, so what's it like inside there?
Well, we learned that the flora inside the domes is the work of a team of horticulturalists who were charged with scouring the globe for interesting plants. So we have a lot in there. Flora just is going to refer to your plants, plant life, flowers, trees, any kind of plants. And there's all sorts of plants inside these domes. And a team of horticulturists, so people who are experts in plants and particularly in gardening, right, in planting plants, went around and tried to find interesting plants all over the world to bring back to this greenhouse.
Don't you think that would be a fun job if you were one who likes flowers and plants and things, and you have a job, you go all around the world and find the most interesting plants and bring them back to Seattle? Wow, what a job. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be an amazing job. I think for me, the most fun would be going out and getting the plants, because there are a lot of fantastic plants all
around
the world. Oh, there
are. South America has a lot.
Some of them in South America are amazing. So going out there, being able to take samples and legally bring them back to our large greenhouse, that would be a lot of fun.
And it took 4 years to do that, but now it feels like a very mature jungle, more like South America.
Yeah, even though it has that feeling, though, this is a jungle that has been very intentionally planned and organized and planted so that it really feels like a place where you can do some work. And they actually get into that in the third paragraph, where they say, to keep the aisles clear for that feeling and thinking, Amazon's gardens will be, for the most part, private space. So they've really organized what's going on. It's not just letting these interesting plants grow anywhere they want.
So it's not an entertainment park. It's a workplace, isn't it?
That's right. And that's why you can't just go any day and tour it. They have very specific times where you can come and do a tour. And I did read that at least at first you had to get reservations like 6 months in advance.
Oh,
so
my.
If you decide you want to go, you'll have to do some research to see how to get reservations, although they are free if you can get a reservation.
They're twice weekly. They have these tours, and you can stop inside the sphere. So we'll find out more about it tomorrow when we come back. This is an interesting article, isn't it?
Very
sure
interesting.
Is. And, happy 4th of July, and let's have a picnic now, because I think we should go off on a picnic on the 4th, don't you?
Sounds good.
We'll be back tomorrow.
All
okay?
Right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.